how does Australia rate against countries overseas in the road safety stakes? John Knott.
Up until the 1970s, Australia's reputation overseas in terms of road safety was appalling. We were used in it as an example of one of the worst developed countries for road safety. If you want an example how to do things wrong, then you could look to Australia. Since the 1970s, since Victoria introduced the compulsory wearing of seatbelts, since random breath tests, no, it's not popular with motorists, but there's no doubt that speed cameras do have an impact. Since all of those little things, since car design has improved dramatically, road design, all of those things, smaller themselves, but all incrementally, have produced that dramatic fall from 30 deaths per 100,000 in 1970 to today, 6.9.
At the same time, of course, the better countries in Western Europe have improved. They're now down below 5 per 100,000. We have improved. We've come up the ladder, so to speak. We're not quite at the front of the league. We're still chasing the United Kingdom, Netherlands and Sweden as the leading jurisdiction, but we're hoping to get there.
Sweden's influence on road safety in Australia has been profound in that it has classed Tingvall with its notion of Vision Zero. Tingvall came to Australia in 1998 to head up the Monash University Accident Research Centre. Ian Johnston comments.
He was immensely valuable for this place. Just a brilliant, forward-thinking Swede who changed the way this place thought about safety, an absolute visionary. Historically, we always blamed the victim. If someone had a serious crash, we would go, it's because they were speeding, it's because they were drinking, it's because they were on drugs, it's because they had a microsleep, it's because... So we'd always look for a behavioural cause for the crash. And we're encouraged to do that because insurance companies always wanted to apportion negligence. Police always wanted to prosecute someone. So we had a whole system that was designed... And the vehicle industry promoted this because it meant they didn't have to put as much effort into vehicle design because it was only the idiots behind the wheel. And the road authorities didn't have to invest in safe road systems because no matter what they did, it was the idiots behind the wheel that caused all the problems. So we had an entire culture that was designed around blaming the individual, blaming the victim. So what Klaus's view was is you don't have to design a system for people to do 200 kilometres an hour. You don't have to design a system for people who are drunk, but you do have to design a system so that if you are playing by the rules, that is, you're sober and you're alert and you're well-trained and all of that, a simple mistake will not cost you your life. That's what Vision Zero actually means. And it switches the emphasis on safe systems to the road engineers and the traffic engineers and says, listen, guys, we'll worry about legislation and we'll worry about controlling behaviour, but you guys have got to worry about developing a really, truly safe system. And they never have before. That doesn't mean they're not interested in safety, but it means safety is not a primary consideration in design. And that's the biggest contribution Klaus made, was turning that thinking on its ear.
I think Vision Zero is a brilliant model, if you like, for achieving road safety outcomes. A lot of people would argue that the claims of Vision Zero are very lofty and to have a target of a zero road toll is completely unachievable. Maybe it is, but I don't think that makes that model any less appropriate because I think it sets the stage for we shouldn't be having any deaths on our roads. You know, to have this idea, oh, we've only killed 500 people this year, our road toll's actually okay, it's the wrong way to think about it. If we're really serious about road safety, we should be trying to avoid any deaths on our roads. And while I don't think we're necessarily going to achieve a zero road toll anytime soon, I think with that model in mind, it allows road safety practitioners to look at the whole road safety system. Safer roads, safer vehicles, safer behaviours, safer speeds. And it basically says, if all those things are working well, then deaths should be minimised. So I think it's a great model.
It's a philosophy. It's not really designed to be an achievable, as in objective is always going to be zero. It's really a desirable something to strive for.
Do I think we'll ever get to zero? No, but neither does Klaus. But you've got to put a light on the hill to push people in the right direction. We can at least halve what we've got now. And if you think of that in rate terms, that would put us way ahead of anywhere else.
The zero goal is a real goal. There's a form of zero goal transport already, you know, elevate lifts. You can't get in a lift and say, oh, gee, I'd like to go faster up to the top floor. I think, oh, where's the speed control? In vertical transport, people accept nothing less than zero fatalities. You know, you don't go off and go into a building in the city and say, gee, I wonder what the chances of a crash in the lift are today. I think I'll look around for the four-star rated one. So why don't we apply the same principles? It was Klaus Tingvall who came up with the idea of zero goal. And I remember the first time he presented at an international conference, and these were experienced road safety research people saying, he's mad. He's mad. It's a stupid idea. It'll never happen. And the way he expanded it's better is that if you don't wear a seatbelt, then you can't be in a crash that's over 20 kilometres per hour. Therefore, we'll have sensors in the vehicle. And if everyone's not wearing their seatbelts, your vehicle won't be able to go over 20 kilometres per hour. And things like that. In other words, we just can have so much built in that we're not going to let you get into trouble.